We're on the phone with Steve Zissou. That name might not be real familiar to you, but he is an attorney based in New York, and he has a client serving time in the Marion Federal Prison. Steve, could you just tell us about that client?
Well, the client is Victor Boot. He's a Russian national. He was arrested. Actually, he was targeted by the U.S. government while he was living in Moscow in what we here in the U.S. refer to as a sting operation. He spoke to some U.S. agents about an arms deal. That never happened, actually, and the agents set him up, in effect, so he could be charged in the U.S. courtroom. He went to trial back in, it was 2010. I wasn't his lawyer at the time. And he was convicted, even though it's a talk crime, meaning no arms were exchanged, no money was exchanged. The mandatory minimum sentence is 25 years in jail, which I'm guessing some of your listeners would find that a little hard to believe that you'd get 25 years for talking about a crime, but that was the mandatory minimum, which the judge gratefully imposed. The U.S. government actually asked that he be sentenced to life without parole for this same talk crime. So, you know, now he's eventually found his way to, I guess, what you folks know as the Guantanamo North,
yeah.
Marion, Illinois. And he's been there for several years. He's got about 5 years or so left of his sentence.
So, Steve, one of the great things about the American legal system is no matter if you're guilty as sin or just as pure as the driven snow, when you're accused of a crime, you get a lawyer, you get a trial, and you get the appeal. So how did you come to take Victor Boot as a client?
Well, so I had been consulting with him and his family for more than a decade now. He had a different lawyer during the trial. We didn't really know each other well at the time. And then, you know, recently, you know, we sort of came up with a strategy of how to go forward and try to get him out of jail and hopefully less than the mandatory sentence. And we came up with a strategy that he embraced, and we've been working hard for the last 2 years trying to arrange for him to get home to his family, let's just say sooner than later.
So could you tell us a little bit about what his daily life is inside the Marion prison? I believe it's just 23 hours in the cell, 1 hour out. Is that correct?
Yeah, for the most part. You know, look, obviously it's a prison. Prisons are not fun places to be. He's in a communication monitoring unit, which means that his movements are restricted. His conversations are restricted. But, you know, for example, he'd love to be on the phone with you today. He'd love to give you an interview, but the Bureau of Prisons won't permit him to do that. You can feel free to ask them. Lots of folks from CNN to 60 Minutes have asked, and they've all failed. And so, you know, he didn't get to do much. I get to speak to him maybe once a week. He gets one phone call a week to his family in Moscow. But mercifully, Victor's a very strong guy. He's very well read, and he makes use of his time. Does a lot of drawing. Does a lot of reading. If you were here in my office with me now, you'd say I'm surrounded by some of his books that he sends me from time to time. So, you know, we could keep him safe until he's home with his family.
What kind of things does he like to draw?
He draws a little bit of everything. You know, there's an exhibit that ran in Moscow of his drawings. There are some self-portraits. There are some prison photos, you know, being behind bars and stuff. He's actually very talented.
We're on the phone with attorney Steve Zissou. He is representing Victor Boots, sometimes referred to as the Merchant of Death. And we really got to know this guy when the prisoner exchange process really came to light with Brittany Griner being arrested in Russia. So could you tell us a little bit about that prisoner exchange process? I mean, how much say do you or your client have? Could even perhaps even refuse to participate if that ever crossed his mind?
No, I mean, look, we wouldn't, you know, refuse to participate in that. We have actively participated in it. But it's the lead up to how it happened that's really the challenge. You know, the the idea when we took over Victor, the thing that we needed to do was correct the narrative. As you pointed out, he's known around the world and the U.S. in particular as the Merchant of Death. And, you know, so, you know, ask some of the other warriors, you may know, hey, how do you go about representing somebody whose name, given this Hollywood moniker called Merchant of Death? And they'd say, yeah, that's got to be tough. And so what we set out to do is kind of change the narrative or adjust the narrative or correct the narrative is more like it to tell folks, to get folks the real story about Victor Boot out there was that he was charged with a talk crime and that the minimum mandatory sentence here in the U.S. was, you know, kind of outrageous, that the judge in his case, now retired, has gone on record saying it was way too long a sentence. If she had a choice, she would have given him a shorter sentence. She made certain findings at his sentencing that have been helpful. And so the challenge was, you know, let's try to educate folks. But you know what? That wasn't working until Brittany got locked up in Russia. In other words, folks weren't paying attention to the true story about Victor Boot until Brittany got arrested. And then, you know, folks like you, folks from the sports desk, for example, of various newspapers, from the Wall Street Journal, ESPN, started to pay attention and look deeper into the story. And so the narrative started to set, and folks in the U.S., including the former ambassador to the United States, Mike McFaul, recommend that that Victor be swapped. And so all of a sudden, folks started to realize, you know, what are we holding on to this guy if he's going to be released in 5 or 6 years anyway? You know, let's trade him. And but for Brittany's arrest, I don't think folks ever get to the point that they've gotten to today, where it has become palatable for the president to accept the notion that we should get something for him before he's released.
Could you tell us a little bit what the Russian legal system is like? I think many folks still have an idea. It's still like the old KGB, where there's really not much of a trial, maybe a show trial. Do you know much about the Russian legal system?
Sure. You know, so obviously, representing Victor and several other Russians, I've come to learn a great deal about it. You know, I now describe myself as a Russian expert, because you need to be to deal with folks from a different country, from a different culture. So since then I've been to visit Ambassador Antonov in the U.S. Embassy, in the Russian Embassy in Washington. Look, so what folks really don't need to understand is there is a similarity to the U.S. and the Russian system. And so folks printed a lot during Brittany's trial about, you know, how the outcome was preordained, because the acquittal rate, the number of times somebody's found not guilty in the Russian courtroom, is less than 1%. What folks find hard to believe when they hear it, though, is that the acquittal rate in the U.S. federal courts, the court where Victor was convicted, is also less than 1%. And so while we have more structure, and there is more, it's more of a developed confrontational system where, you know, the cross-examination is the engine basically that drives a criminal trial, Russia has a less mature, less developed system. But the bottom line is less than 1% is less than 1%. And that's a similarity. So Victor's conviction was the same preordained as Brittany's was, and his harsh punishment was preordained just, I think, as Brittany's was.
Do you think any of the sentencing or the prosecution of Brittany Griner is maybe a tit-for-tat or a payback for Victor Boot's incarceration?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I'm glad you asked the question, because, you know, you can go back to 2005, 2006, when Victor Boot was targeted by the U.S. government. Remember, the time he was targeted, he was retired, living in Moscow, was no longer in the business, so to speak, of transporting anything. Remember, his transportation business had to do with more than just carrying arms to different places. He transported lots of things. And you know, and so the Russians were apoplectic, and they remain that way. You know, how can you target one of our citizens, make up a crime, and then grab them in Thailand and put them in jail for 25 years? And so as a result of that, U.S. citizens traveling to Russia have become less safe. You know, in the old days, before they targeted Victor, you know, an American citizen would get into some trouble on the Russian side, and there'd be some nominal punishment. Maybe the Russians would call the local embassy in Moscow or council and say, "Hey, come on, would you get this idiot out of here? You know, they're carrying this, they're carrying that," and there'd be kind of a mutual respect for each other's citizens. Well, that ended when Victor Boot was targeted. And remember, he was a retired living in Moscow, and the U.S. just simply targeted him, created a crime, and the investigator didn't think for a minute, they did it because they could, and they never thought about whether or not they should or what the ramifications would be. And these are the ramifications where you got like Brittany and Paul Weiland, Mark Fogel is a teacher over there, who are dealt with in a much harsher way than they probably would have been had Victor not been targeted.
We're on the phone with attorney Steve Zissou. He is representing Victor Boots, who is currently incarcerated in the Marion Federal Prison. Now, he is scheduled to be released in just a few years in 2029, and I believe that's to be followed by 5 years of supervised release. How will that happen? Will he be forced to take up residence in Southern Illinois? Can he travel when he's released? What happens then?
Oh, yeah. So what will happen is, since he has no status in the United States, remember, he was brought here against his will. He never visited the U.S. before, does not have a visa, was not planning on visiting. So when he is released, and it'll probably be, I'm going to say, probably closer to 2027, because when you're not going to be released to the community, you get shipped off a year or so, maybe two early, to an immigration facility where they eventually put you on a plane and you're repatriated to your country. So he will technically be on supervised release, but he will not be supervised, right? So, let's say in theory, while outside, after he's repatriated to Russia, he's convicted of a crime. Technically speaking, that's a violation of supervised release. And should he ever return to the U.S., he could be charged with it. But he won't be supervised. He won't be in the community. He'll go straight from Marion to an immigration facility, then a plane. Hopefully, the Russians send one to pick him up right away. And then he'll be home with his family a short time later. Now, if he's swapped, that's different, right? I mean, if there's a prisoner exchange, it works substantively differently.
Do you know how fast that that prisoner swap process would work? I mean, what's your lead time of being notified that, hey, my client's going to be swapped here? I mean, usually these things at least are kept from the public until the last minute.
Yeah, I beg your pardon. Yeah. So the last time I was involved in one of these, I found out on a Friday, by the following Monday, the client was already on the tarmac in Turkey.
We've been on the phone this morning with Steve Zissou, a New York-based attorney currently representing Victor Boots, incarcerated in the Marion Federal Prison. Steve, I can't thank you enough for the little bit of time you've been able to spend with us today. I've learned a lot.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Happy to talk to my friends in the Midwest. One of my favorite states. We love visiting Chicago. I've done some work there. Can't wait to get back.
All right, Steve. Thanks. Have a great day.
My pleasure.